we met together as a team and tried to determine what where we might be able to offer some practical help. And the whole issue of retirement came up. From a biblical perspective, we realize that there are a lot of people that really don't think biblically about this. And so we asked Dennis and Christina if they would take the lead on this. So what we're going to do is just going to be a very brief presentation, and then hopefully maybe some time for questions, for answers, and even your comments on things that you've learned to make this a little bit more interactive. So we've been praying that this would be helpful. I hope it will be. I'd just like to introduce Dennis briefly. Back in the early 90s, Dennis became a care group leader in this church along with Christina, and they served in that capacity for probably about 15 years until moving to Frederick. And the thing that I appreciated very much about Dennis was that he brought a biblical perspective to his life as a manager, a business professional. He always struck me as someone who was seeing that everything he did in life was a vocational calling. In other words, he was here to serve the Lord, and he would do that in the capacity of his occupation, but he also served in the church, and he didn't see that as really any different, just a different context for kingdom work. So I appreciated his perspective. Not only did he serve as a care group leader, but he and his wife also... Great. Thank you. He and his wife also became part of the biblical counseling team, which I was leading at the time, which is a very time-intensive thing. In other words, they were really filling up their lives with things that would have eternal value. The other thing that struck me about Dennis was that he was very purposeful when it came to his job and the future, and he looked at retirement as something to plan for so that he could give more of his time and energy to serving the Lord. And in the providence of God, one of the things that happened was they sold their very large home over in Prince George's County and moved to a smaller home in Frederick just in time to be positioned for the Frederick Church plant, where Dennis and Christina are now a part of our Frederick sister church, where he also serves as a care group leader there and is very valuable because in their now retirement years, they have retired, they're able to give more time. So Dennis prepared a little bit of maybe an introductory talk here that he's going to share with you, and then we'll try to take some questions and your comments as well. But he's doing this because I can commend him as a man who has been thinking this way for, I guess, the past 16, 17 years that I've known him. And he is a good friend and a wonderful man. Dennis, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Robin. It's my wife, Christina, and we've been retired for 3 years. We both had full and purposeful careers, and we thank God for all that He has given us through Covenant Life Church and in our careers.
Hold that mic a little closer.
A little closer? Okay. There we go. Well, before my conversion, I was about all I was interested in was getting ahead in my career. I wanted to buy a big home, own a sporty car, and enjoy life and family and friends. Money and the approval of man were idols in my life. I worked up to about 80 hours a week, and there was no time or interest in attending church or devotions in my life. I wanted to earn as much money as I could and invest it so I could stop working and live a life of leisure, the American dream. I imagined buying a big motorhome and traveling around the country. And I thought the bumper sticker that I saw on the back of motorhomes that says, "We're spending our children's inheritance," was cute and funny. Well, I didn't see it coming, but God had other plans. 20 years ago, when I started attending Covenant Life Church, hearing the teachings, and living for the Lord, my retirement plans started undergoing a major overhaul. Your retirement plans may be different from mine, but you all have a plan. Acknowledged or not, formal or informal, written or just in your mind. Perhaps it's just a plan not to plan, or to save as much as you can and rely on a retirement advisor. But we all have a plan to retire. But before we discuss retirement planning, let's look at what biblically defined retirement might look like. I think it can be seen as a change in employer or a change in job description. Or better yet, a trading up for a better retirement package. Some people look at it, and I do, as a conversion from investing in things that waste away to investing in things of eternal value. Matthew 6:19 to 21 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." God also gives us a reason for retirement. In Acts 20:24, he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Like many blessings that we receive, retirement is a gift. It's a gift of more time to pray for others, more time to share God's word with others, more time to encourage others, more time to set an example for others, more time to provide godly wisdom and counsel. And all of this can be done with a zeal and a sense of urgency and a thankfulness that is unique to the retired season of life. Luke 12:48 says, "Everyone to whom much has been given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they have entrusted much, they will demand more." I came under conviction when the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12 exposed my selfish and self-centered point of view that retirement was a time to relax and eat and drink and be merry. In this parable, the rich man's land, our jobs, produced plentiful. He built bigger barns so he could relax and eat and drink and be merry, only to have God call him a fool. This passage teaches all of us that we too are a fool if we lay up treasure for ourselves and are not rich toward God. For me, retirement can be viewed as a change in the use of my time. From working at a job for more or less 40 hours a week to earn a living, to using that same time directly to serve God without compensation. At least not monetary compensation. A first concern for me was how I would support myself and my family without a job. Overcoming this concern freed me to consider how I could serve God with the use of my time that was freed up from not working a job. How to live without a job can be where we often get stuck, because it's kind of like the chicken or the egg question. What is needed to be self-supporting depends on what you will be doing to support yourself, what you need to be supported to do. At its core, It's a matter of matching your capability to your opportunity in the context of God's purpose and plan for your life. You can begin by taking an inventory of the capabilities that God has given you. God has invested heavily in you. Your life is a part of His investment in you. He has invested in you to help you to get to retirement, as biblically defined. Perhaps He has blessed you with wealth in the form of money or savings or pension funds or investments or real estate, gifts He's given you. Perhaps He's given you special skills, talents, experiences, knowledge, education. Perhaps He has kept your family close by, given you a wonderful church like Covenant Life Church and cherished friends. Perhaps He's given you good health. A retired life involves many of these gifts and much more. And the time to start considering your gifts is now, no matter what season of life you're in. Next, consider the opportunities. Mark mentioned several of those in his talk this morning. Opportunities. Opportunities and purposes available for you in retirement. Your current circumstances and past experiences are a good place to start. Ask questions. Where does the Lord have me now? What vision has the Lord given me as to where I might serve Him in retirement? Consider God's calling on your life. What ministries you are participating in or could participate in. Missions of the church, the needs of your family and the church, and on and on. In Proverbs 15:22, God tells us that without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. This applies to your retirement as well. With the help of many advisors, you can put together a retirement plan. God has many counselors made available to you, such as financial and legal advisors, retirement experts, estate planners. And He has provided you with the counsel within the context of the church, such as your pastor, your care group members, your care group leader, and brothers and sisters in Christ with special skills and gifts. In addition, your own research is simply prudent stewardship. Your retirement plan begins by defining your mission, your retirement mission, and the goals and objectives needed to accomplish that mission. The definition is crucial to the beginning. Include in your plan measurable timelines, financial milestones, and anticipate evidences of grace and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Then develop a strategy to achieve those objectives. Your plan should be a living plan. That means it can be updated as circumstances unfold. Always prayerfully keeping before you the sovereignty of God, the glory of the cross, and remaining open to changes that God has in store for your retirement. Finally, the plan should be supported by research, confirmed by appropriate expertise, and backed up by trustworthy review and counsel of brothers in Christ. God made all things for good, including biblically defined retirement. If you approach retirement from a biblical perspective, in humility, trusting in God, stepping out in faith, and following the guidelines we've discussed, you'll be on the right path, the path that God has prepared for you.
I was wondering if Christina might be available to just maybe talk about how it worked in dialogue between the two of you in trying to determine what your future would be. Would you have anything to say about that, Christina, how you and Dennis worked together on that?
Well, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm blessed by having a husband that is a good group planner. He's always planning, and not only planning, but making his plans. he's a very good leader. You know, he has bring me along with all his plans and teach me a lot of the things that I didn't know about finances and how to go about this plan that he had for many years. And so that's you know, I consider myself blessed by that. The only thing that I did was coming along, you know, and submitting to his leadership. And even things that I didn't understand and that I maybe didn't like along the way, you know, like moving from a big house to a small house. That was a big struggle, but I knew that the Lord was calling us to do that. And I was very blessed by the way he led me through the whole way.
So it was very important, Dennis, to draw Christina in. And another point that he made was getting the necessary expertise from others, financial planners, et cetera. But the multitude of counselors provide safety, and this is something that Dennis and I and Christina, too, would talk about, his plans, because he wanted to serve more effectively in the church. So it's something that we did discuss. How could he position himself for this? And we prayed about this sort of thing. And as I said earlier, I appreciated this about Dennis. It's you know, when it comes to things like this, we often can just act as individuals thinking, well, it's all up to me, it's all my problem. And sometimes guys don't even include their wives in getting their benefit of their judgment and their perspective, and that's very important. So I'm glad that you work together as a team. When we had lunch a few weeks ago with, I think it was Bob and John Emilio and Dennis Cook Sr., I'm not sure if you were a part of that, Dennis, but all of these different guys, Dennis, as an older gentleman, I think in his late 60s, is still working at Lockheed Martin, has just backed off a little bit. Bob retired from the county government, Dennis from private industry, John, a self-employed businessman. Everybody had different resources. Everybody had a little bit different perspective. And what we found as we were talking, I think everyone was gaining a certain bit of wisdom by hearing the other guys and what they were saying. We don't all look at these things alike and pursue them from the same perspective. So that was an eye-opener for me. I'm kind of the opinion that I'm probably going to be doing what I can do as long as I can do it. Maybe you have that kind of job where you can. As long as I can talk and think straight and people want me to keep teaching and preaching, I'll keep doing that. But everybody's got different occupations, taking a different approach. The thing that we can help one another with here is by networking as individuals and having that kind of mentality that in the multitude of counselors there's safety. So I would encourage you not to just approach this as kind of a lone wolf action. But it's something that you can join together with others. We'd like to know if there are any questions or comments that those of you out there have. If so, all you have to do is speak up, and if you can't hear it too well, I'll try to repeat the question for any of the folks up here. Yeah. Yes, sir. Dennis? Your early 70s, okay. Yeah.
My struggle has always been being able to afford retirement. My struggle has always been getting to a point where I believed I could afford retirement. You know my story, a lot of kids and not being financially astute. So we did something less than typically the world would say that you're ready for retirement. So you made the statement something along the lines, one of the pearls of wisdom was to step out in faith after you had come up with your mission statement, you had counseled with many, and I would presume from what you said you became confident in where you were going, but there was a need to step out in faith. And I wonder if you could elaborate on some of the practical aspects of that.
Yes, I think that for me was perhaps the biggest struggle. I was convicted a little bit in the Bible stories about Solomon, you know, where there was never enough. No matter how much, it was not enough. And I was tempted along those lines in planning my retirement. I can't retire. I can't spend my life serving the Lord because I don't have enough saved. And I have to save more. And I have to keep saving more. And I finally came to a point where I had to speak to an advisor on retirement to get some kind of feedback from him on how to gauge what was enough. And I also talked with people in my care group. And for me, it really became a question of quality of life and standard of living. Many of the Bible verses that talk about God provides for your needs, I began to evaluate what God sees as my needs and what I see as my needs. I came to the conclusion that God doesn't consider a Mercedes a need for me. So that was an example of the kind of thing, and that was a part of what drove us from moving to a very large house that we really felt great in to something that was a lot more modest. And that expanded then to a lifestyle of modesty. Now, I never worked for a company like Lockheed Martin for a long period of time. We didn't have retirement plans or pension plans, and so I was a discipline of saving. Well, that turned out to be a challenge too, because most of my saving was investments, and those investments were in the stock market, and you get to hear the stock market news every single day. And so every time the stock market would step down a few steps, I would say to myself, I don't have enough. I can't retire yet. Until I came to a point again of going back to an expert, an investment expert, and saying, how much do I have to have retired for the kind of living life that I have? He said, well, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, I'm going to live in this kind of house. I want to have this kind of car. I want to do this in my church. And was able to outline for him, and he was able to give me some advice, and we ended up being able to invest in a way that was diversified enough to give me the kind of income to supplement Social Security and the other forms of income. But stepping out in faith didn't end. It's still with me to this very day.
You still have to trust God.
Yes. He runs the stock market, I found out.
Thanks. That's a good answer. Yeah, I think I'm not there yet, but I do know this being common to all of us, that fear of being able to financially provide or be provided for in the future is something that affects all of us. The writer to Hebrews says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, because he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, so we can confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I will not be afraid, what can man do to me? That not being afraid, I think there's a lot of fear that drives a lot of people in this, and so faith in God and trust in God is an absolutely essential issue. And obviously, it's different for every person. Some are able to make this kind of transition perhaps earlier than others. Some are never really able to make this transition. But having a heart to serve, I think, is so very important. Jackie, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I am going to quote you, okay? We were talking about this, and Jackie Dietrich, who is a widow, and she serves in this church heroically. She just has a heart to serve in whatever way she can. She loved this little book here. She serves along with Alicia in the food setup for our seniors' luncheon. She served in Alpha. She served in children's ministry. And I think she made the comment, I'm just going through all of the serving teams in the church. I want to experience them all. I expect to see her out there in the parking crew one of these days in bad weather. Now, if you know... It wasn't that funny. All right. Oh, summers only. That was funny. Okay, very good. One of the things you'll notice about Jackie is she is inveterately joyful. She is a happy, happy lady. She's always got a smile on her face, always joyful. And you can draw a direct line from those who serve and to those that are joyful, almost invariably. We covet this for you. The most joyful people I know are the people who are giving their lives away in service. And you don't have to just stay stuck in one thing. Besides giving a retirement years, giving opportunities for increased service, you may say, well, I'm so limited. I haven't got the strength or the physical. There's always something that you can do. And when you do it, you're not only going to be imitating our Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many, but you're going to also be joining together with others who serve, and that's going to be how you develop friendships and fellowship. The people who roll up their sleeves and get involved in serving in various capacities are the ones that look to their right and their left and say, oh, you doing this too? Yeah. And that's how friendships develop more and more. So we covet this for you. Dennis found that being all alone or trying to work out retirement and stuff like this all by himself, that's not where it's at. There are professionals and you know, they can help, and there's all kinds of resources and things and folks that can help you. There's a financial counseling team here even at this church that's a free thing that you can make use of to just get some facts and figures like Dennis was mentioning there. But I think also in the multitude of counselors, spiritual counsel, talking to people in his care group, talking to pastoral leaders, helping you to identify. I want you all yoked up and plowing in the kingdom of God in your later years, because I know that if you do that, he's going to be glorified, you're going to be fulfilled, you're going to be joyful. You won't be coming to me for counseling. Instead, you'll be counseling others. Although it's fine if you come to me for counseling. I don't want to put that down. But our eagerness in this whole area of just briefly raising the topic of retirement is that you would have a biblical vision for this. It's not a time for kicking back, just having leisure. It's a time of, if anything, increased service for God. And if you think that means you won't have fun or won't have leisure, I believe you'll have even more, because God will see that you have those times and opportunities for recreation, for recreating your spirit. But if you seek leisure or retirement or chilling, as the kids say, as an end in itself, I think you're going to end up with a whole great big bag full of nothing. And only what's done for Christ will last. Okay?